If you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter number 14, verse number 34. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. I want to preach on this thought from these three verses. Touching Jesus. Now what a blessing it is to have the hand of the Lord reach down and save you. Lift you from the miry clay that you once lived in. What a blessing it would be to have Jesus just place his hand right upon you. What a blessing it is to have the hand of God reach down and touch you. Have you experienced that? Say amen. But in this situation we read in the text in Matthew 14, it was the people who touched Jesus. You realize that you can touch him and you'll never be the same. First of all, I want us to see the possibility, back to our text, of touching Jesus. The disciples have just been sent by the Lord Jesus to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And as he sends them over, they get into a great storm. You remember the story? And Jesus was up on the mountain praying, and he saw them in the storm. He knew it was coming. And he came down to where they were, and he was walking on the water. You remember that? Peter, he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee. And Simon Peter stepped out of the boat after the Lord said, come. And he walked till he took his eyes off Jesus. And when he did, he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And the Lord reached down and touched him and lifted him back and walked him back to the boat. And they both got in the boat. And then they sailed over. And the Bible says in verse 34, when they were gone over. In other words, when the Lord says you're going to do something, you're going to do it. Amen. They passed over to the other side. And now they've come to the land of Gennesaret. Now that's huge, because just down from Gennesaret is another village of the Gergesenes. Let's think about how the Gergesenes greeted Jesus. Hold your place here and turn back again to Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus came to the land of the Gergesenes, there was two possessed with devils, and the Lord Jesus commanded the demons to come out of them, and the people of the Gergesenes lost all their swine, all their pigs, amen. And the Bible says in verse 33, and they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Here is the Son of God come to their village. The healer has come and he's cleansed two men that were possessed with devils. And the rest of the village comes out and says, Lord, we beseech you, go away from us. God help. Now he's come back to that same side of the Sea of Galilee, just up from the land of the Gergesenes, to a land called Gennesaret. I wonder what's going to happen there. But when he gets there to the land of Gennesaret, the Bible says, when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. Boy, two different congregations. The first congregation said, we don't want him. And the second congregation said, we want all of him we can get. There is a possibility of touching Jesus. And the Gergesenes said, we don't want to touch him. Get out of here. But the men of Gennesaret said, oh, yes, we want more about Jesus. Oh, praise God, that's what we need tonight. The only hope they had was to get close enough to touch Jesus. And they sought only to touch the hem of his garment. Three things about the possibility of touching Jesus. First of all, you can touch him when he's near to you. The Bible tells us that he has come to them. The men of Gennesaret didn't sail across the Sea of Galilee to get to Jesus. Jesus came from the other side of the sea to get to them. Aren't you glad, praise God, that Jesus come from the other side to be where we are? Amen. That we might touch him and we might never be the same. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Praise God. You can touch him when he's near. Amen. Not only his nearness, but look at their need. They that are whole need not a physician. But the crowds knew that there were many diseased in their village. And they said, go get all that are sick and afflicted and bring them to Jesus. They were desperate for healing. They were desperate for his help. Have you ever been desperate for his guidance? Have you ever been desperate for his leadership? Have you ever been desperate that he might speak to your heart? Have you ever been desperate for a loved one that there might be healing and that there might be help? This crowd was desperate for the Lord Jesus. And as he's passing near to them and they have a need, they reach out to touch him. Thirdly, there is his nature. Did you realize in the Old Testament, deity could not be approached or touched? Hold your place here and look at 2 Samuel chapter 6, and there are a number of these places. I told my wife this morning when the service was over, I told her, did you know in the Bible God killed more people over mumbling and disputing than anything else? He shut down the whole 2 million Jews other than Joshua and Caleb. All of them died out because of mumbling and complaining. All of them. And when you come to this text in 2 Samuel chapter 6, another thing God kill you over is touching deity. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, we come to find out that the ark is being brought back by a cart with oxen pulling it and being brought back towards Jerusalem. And look what happens in verse 6. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. Can you see that ark of the covenant as it rides? Listen, it was supposed to be carried. It was never supposed to ride in the back of a cart. They were doing the right thing. The right thing is to bring the ark to Jerusalem, but there's a wrong way to do the right thing. Don't do the right thing the wrong way. They're doing it the wrong way. And the oxen, I don't know if they hit a bump in the road, but anyway, the Ark of the Covenant shook. And Uzzah, that great man, Uzzah, reached forth his hand to stabilize it, to keep it from tilting over. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the Ark of God. Preacher, all he's trying to do is help God out. God don't need your help. God don't need Uzzah's help. Well, he's just trying to do a... I mean, I could see how that happened, Preacher Darren. I'm liable. Listen, in the Old Testament, you did not touch deity. You could be smitten and killed right by the ark of God if you did so. I could take you to other places. We'll not do that right now. I could take you to other places where you cannot touch deity. You can't. But in the New Testament, God has condescended from glory in the form of flesh. Sinless flesh. His name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God. And I'm thankful that he has a new nature. Preacher, what do you mean? He was so much man that he slept in a boat, yet he was so much God that the wind ceased when he spoke. He was so much man that he wept when Lazarus died, yet he was so much God. Lazarus came forth when he cried. He was so much man that he thirsted at the well, yet he was so much God that he saved her soul from hell. He was so much man that he died up on the tree. He was so much God that he rose in victory. You understand? He is so much man that he grew weary, but he's so much God that he is our rest. He is so much man that he was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, but he was so much God that he gave his life to redeem us from our sins. He is so much man, yes, that he died on a tree, but he's so much God, he arose on that first day of the week, victorious over death, victorious over hell, and victorious over the grave. If you'd hold your place and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Understand something tonight. I probably am not going to be able to touch my president. Don't know if I want to. I'm probably not going to be able to shake the governor's hand. The congressman, most of them don't know anything about me. But I want you to tell you about God Almighty through our Lord Jesus Christ.
in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Understand, there's a possibility of touching Jesus because he is near. He's here tonight. There's a possibility of touching Jesus because of our need. And there's a possibility of touching Jesus because of his nature. Our high priest can be touched. Glory to God, when they took that young lady out sick just a little bit ago and her having all kind of problem, when I come back in here and seen this church on its face before God, I about had a spell. Amen. We can touch him and we'll never be the same. There's a possibility of touching Jesus. Number two, but there's problems in touching Jesus. Well, Preacher Darren, you had me till right there. I hate it when there's problems. Well, what are some of these obstacles in the way of these people? First of all, they have a physical problem. The Bible tells us in verse 35 that they're diseased. They are weak. They are sick. There's some of you have COPD. Some of you may be going through heart situations, whatever, and it's all you can do to walk from the parking lot into the church. You're completely out of breath when you get here. You know what it's like to be diseased. You know what it's like to be sick. They have a physical problem. They are not able, really, to walk across the floor. They realize that their disease is a death sentence in their life. They have a physical problem. Second of all, they have a people problem. What do you mean a people problem, Preacher Darren? Well, there's a crowd. And sick and weak people amongst a crowd that's excited, wanting to touch Jesus, may get bowled over or knocked to the ground and trampled completely to death. There's a people problem. In fact, to be honest with you, I'd like to say there's a pride problem. Do you realize tonight that most people, most churches you go to, if there's any amount of people there, when you give an altar call, they'll stand there and look at you because they don't want nobody to see them. Step out and go to the altar and call the name of Jesus. They're ashamed of that. Oh, I'm glad, thank God, that the altar's always open at the house of God. Amen? And we don't have to be ashamed when we bring our problems to the Lord Jesus. Has it ever occurred to you that you don't bother God when you bother God? Thank God for that truth. Amen? There's a people problem. There are multitudes there on the side of that seashore in the land of Gennesaret that are trying to get to Jesus. Thirdly, there's a purity problem. What do you mean? Jesus is holy. Jesus is thrice holy, and sinners are going to touch him. We are unclean, and we are unworthy, and there's a purity problem. And that represents every one of us tonight. We all have a sin problem. We are just like the old leper. We ought to be standing outside the house of God, not allowed to come in, and have to stand out there and say, unclean! Unclean. The way I think is unclean. What I see is unclean. What I hear is unclean. What I say is unclean. What I taste is unclean. Hey, my heart is unclean. There's a purity problem going on there. These people are sinners. These people are filled with loathsome, vile, wretched sin. And not to mention that, they have a physical problem of disease. And they're coming to Jesus who's holy and harmless. And they're going to touch him. There is a purity problem. Number three, there is a power in touching Jesus. First of all, the Bible says when the men of that place had knowledge of him. In other words, they heard him or heard of him. Hey, first of all, when I think about the power of touching Jesus, they've heard about him. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Amen. The Bible tells us, as you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. So they've heard about Jesus. And then there's humility. Now think about this. The disease besought him, look at the scripture, that they might only touch the hem of his garment. To touch the hem of someone's garment is seemingly something insignificant to do. I like to fail out a minute ago, because I was sitting on the front row here and I got excited, got happy in the Lord, amen. I stretched out my leg to kick like that, and by the time I brought it back, the brother sitting beside me said, you got a bunch of lint or something on the bottom of your pants. And reached over, that was no accident, God did that. Reached over and just insignificantly reached and pulled that big speck of lint or whatever it was off the hem of my pants. I like to fell out right there. I thought, hey man, think about it. How insignificant would it be, how lowly is it to touch the hem of someone's garment? The hem is the lowest to the ground. But you would have to kneel if you're going to touch the hem of him. And after all, isn't it great that they called it, the Lord called it the hem? Didn't call it the her. Didn't call it the it. Called it the hem. And it was of him. And they had to get down. They had to kneel. Praise God. There's humility in kneeling. You've got to have faith. If you're going to touch the hem of his garment, you're going to have faith or exhibit faith in order to do so. You're coming with a purpose, coming by faith to touch him as he passes by. What about that? And then there's healing. The Bible says, as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Luke chapter 6, verse 19, I checked the text before we preach tonight. The Bible says in a parallel passage that virtue went out of the Lord Jesus as people touched the hem of his garment. They were made whole. I think next of all about the hem. What is the hem? Will you turn with me to Exodus 28? I'm almost done, I promise. Exodus 28, verse number 31. Read here, the Lord, everything he did, he designed the tabernacle. He designed all the materials, all the clothing. Even the color of the clothes has a significance to the Lord, and it does to us. Look with me as the Lord has laid out the plan for the high priest's garment. Now, Lord Jesus Christ, he's king, prophet, and priest. Amen. Look at verse 31. Thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. There shall be a hole in the top of it. Now, why would they put a hole in the top of it? To get your neck through it. Put a hole in the top of it. In the midst thereof, it shall have a binding of woven work around about the whole of it, as it were the whole of a habergeon, that it be not rent. And beneath, upon the hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and the bells of gold between them round about, a golden bell and a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. The reason that they did that for the high priest was when he went into the Holy of Holies and he offered the blood, amen, if he went in unworthily or if he went in and did it the wrong way, God would kill him. And they would listen for them golden bells ringing as he walked to put the blood on the mercy seat. And if they didn't hear them bells a-ringing, they knew he'd been killed, amen. And they had a great big long hook, and they'd throw that hook in there and fetch a carcass out. That's what happened. And that's why they got bells on the bottom of the hem of the high priest and pomegranates, which represents we ought to be fruitful before the Lord. Do you realize that you, as a believer tonight, you are a priest? You come straight to God. You report right to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, through his blood. Amen. Pomegranates, and we know there's bells there. But did you catch something there? In verse 32, we was talking about the neck hole, and the Bible says that this garment, that it be not rent. You know, the Lord Jesus, certainly, when he was accused by the high priest got so upset that he rent his garment. That was breaking the law. Right there it is. Right there it is. He broke the law. And the Lord Jesus' garment was not, remember, they gambled for his garment. They couldn't tear it into pieces. Amen. His garment was whole. And that got me thinking. As he passed by with that garment, now he probably didn't have pomegranates and bells on the bottom of it, but it did have fringes. As he walked by them, they reached out. You understand? And every one that touched him was made whole. His garment was whole and could not be rent, and everyone that touched it was made whole. Amen. And that got me thinking then. In the book of Numbers, go on with me now, everybody touched it was made whole. In the book of Numbers, chapter 15, boy, I like this, amen. Numbers got you thinking, I like it. Numbers chapter 15, verse number 37. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generations. Then that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. The Lord Jesus Christ would have been subject to this. His garment being whole, I believe seamless, at the bottom of his garment, there would have been around, all the way around the bottom of it, there would have been a place that had fringes on it. Now, this would have had ribbons of blue all the way around the bottom of his garment. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a whoring, that you may remember and do all my commandments, and be ye holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. And here comes Jesus through the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place, when they heard about him, said, we ain't going to treat him like the Gergenses. We're not going to ridicule him and reject him. We love him. We want him. We need him. Can I get a witness? We need him. In fact, he's a healer. Go and get all that are sick and all that are afflicted. Do you want anybody sick? Do you know we had one tonight, amen? Go and bring, don't take them to the hospital. Bring them to Jesus, amen. And as he passes by, touch the hem of his garment. Just only touch. You're not touching, listen, not touching his arms, not touching his shoulders, not touching his back, not touching his head. You're just touching the hem of him. Kneeling as he passes by. And as you look, here he comes. At the bottom of his garment, you'll be made whole when you touch the hem of him, a ribbon of blue which represents holiness to the Lord. And then fringes come your way. And you reach out by faith. And when you touch those fringes, you remember he is the commandments of God. He's the fulfillment of the law. He is our hope. He is our righteousness. He is our holiness. He is our healer. He is our, boy, glory to God. He is our helper. Praise God. And immediately, everyone that touched him by faith was made whole. Kind of reminds me in conclusion of a little woman in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, who when she heard about Jesus, somebody must have knocked on the door and said, there's a man. Not just any man, the God man. He saved me. He's saved my family. He's coming to our village in just a little bit. He's on his way. He's traveling down the road now. Why don't you come out, ma'am? Well, honey, I don't know if I can. I've been sick for 12 years. I've had an issue of blood. She's been hemorrhaging, losing blood. The Bible says in Leviticus 17 that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And if you're losing blood, you're dying. If you're losing blood, you have a death sentence. If you're losing blood, amen, you are unclean. The Bible says she did that which was unthinkable. And she left her house and all that was therein. And maybe she's making a last trip of desperation to get to Jesus. And I can't but help think that every step she makes towards him, he's been coming miles towards her. Amen. The whole time that people of Gennesaret was coming to Jesus, Jesus was coming across the lake and from glory just to get to them. In fact, when you made your little trip to the altar, some 32 steps or less, when you come down near the altar, you thought, I'm really going to do something. How far did he come to get to you? And she comes and she sees the multitude, people thronging, people pushing, people shoving, people pulling. Hey, you get out of my way. You get out. I'll come to see Jesus. She's got to think, it's all I can do to walk out of the door. It's all I can do to step off the porch. It's all I can do to get out here the street. I'm not able to stand here long. I think what I'll do is if I can just get through that crowd, and somehow they pushed her. Somehow she worked away the front. She said, I'll just wait on him. There she is, 12 years. 12 years in desperation. Have you ever been sick? Have you ever desired healing? Have you ever begged and pled with God to do a certain thing? That woman has wasted all her living. on those physicians for 12 years. The Pharisees didn't care for her. The church, religion, the synagogue, the Jews had nothing to do with her. The Bible says in the book of Leviticus that if you are a woman and you're losing blood, you're considered unclean. Your bed's unclean. Everything you touch is unclean. Everywhere you go, it's unclean. And as she comes to the crowd and she bows there, somehow she got to the front and she's looking. Can you see her? She looks up. And here comes Jesus. And she sees the bottom of his robe. That's all she's seeing. Oh, wow. I see holiness. He is the fulfillment of the law. He is the sacrifice for my sins. He is the lover of my soul, and he's coming my way. He is the forgiver of my sin, and he's coming my way. And she says as he passes by, oh, I'm just going to touch him. And she reaches out by faith, and she grabs the back of the hem of his garment. Now people have been pushing him and pulling him, throwing him, but he stopped right there when she touched him. He stopped, and he turned around and he said, who touched me? Oh, Simon Peter said, Master, who touched you? The multitudes throngs to see you. And you ask, who touched me? He said, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. For I perceive that virtue, oh, the healing power of the Almighty God has gone out of me and been transferred into her. When he turned around and looked, the Bible said she, when she knew she could not be hid, she came trembling. She bowed before him and she told him everything that had been done. And she began to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm glad. Praise God. It's good that his hand could be on the leper. It's good that his hand can be on the blind man. It's good that his hand can be on we that are sick of a sin-sick fever. It's good that his hand can be upon those that are dead in trespass and sin. That's wonderful. But it certainly is great that you and I, we that are unworthy and unclean, can touch him. I like it what he said. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. When he called her daughter, he said, she was a woman with an issue, but now she's daughter. That means welcome to the family. Hey, glory to God, she's been forgiven and been redeemed. Amen. You bow your head.